This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Have you ever heard somebody use this expression? Oh, sure, they can do that, but we still don't have a cure for cancer. Well, we don't have a cure for cancer yet. We have some drugs that help people who are cancer patients and some ways to fight off some aspects of cancer, but there's no, quote, cure for cancer, unquote. Why is that? My next guest did a little investigation into that. He is an investigative reporter who won a Pulitzer Prize back in 2011 for national reporting. And now in a new piece for ProPublica, he writes about how Big Pharma, the big pharmaceutical companies, are holding back in the war on cancer. Jake Bernstein, welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you so much, Paul.
What are the big pharmaceutical companies not doing that maybe they should be doing?
Well, this is a case where they're doing exactly what we would expect them to be doing, which is trying to make money. These are for-profit companies, and they invest in drugs that will make them money. Now, unfortunately, there are a number of promising alternative treatments for cancer, often using drugs that already exist but are used for other conditions, things like beta blockers and metformin, which is a diabetes drug. And they're generic, they're off-label, there's no incentive for pharmaceutical companies to invest the money that would be required to research them and see exactly how well they work on cancer. They've shown promise in animal studies and in limited human studies, but they haven't had the full clinical trials that you need for these kinds of treatments. Now, pharmaceutical companies are not going to invest in that because it's not going to make them any money. These are generic drugs. So why is that a problem? Well, that's a problem because pharmaceutical companies dominate the drug trial process. They're the ones who foot the bill for most of the trials that happen to develop new cancer drugs. So there's just they squeeze out any room for these other kinds of treatments that would be, conceivably could be put online very quickly and would be relatively inexpensive.
I just want to clarify one thing. When you say alternate treatments, we're not talking about alternative medicine here.
No.
We're talking about things that may be out of the cancer treatment mainstream because they are, as you say, generic and won't end up making millions, billions of dollars for big pharmaceutical companies. I'm curious, though, aren't we, you and I and everybody else who's a taxpayer, aren't we already funding some of this research through things like the National Institutes of Health?
That's a very good question. The bulk of the funding that goes through the National Institute of Health is for basic science, stuff like the Human Genome Program you might have heard of.
Yep.
And that's the kind of stuff that no company would ever do because it would be used by all companies. It's not in their interest to do that kind of research. They do a smaller percentage that is money for these kinds of studies, although an even smaller percentage of that goes towards these sort of larger clinical trials that you need to really get a drug into the hands of a consumer. And to make their money go further, they tend to partner with pharmaceutical companies or academic health centers, where, again, the interest is looking for profit-making drugs. So, and then in addition to that, unfortunately, there's been big cutbacks in the funding for these agencies. So no, unfortunately, they don't have the resources and frankly probably the political will to invest in these kinds of things.
But if they did, you talked to a lot of scientists for this piece that you wrote, which is terrific and really in-depth. But when you talked to them and said, look, if you had the money, where would we be? Did they tell you, oh, we got the science?
Well, I mean, I've certainly talked to a number of researchers who feel like the science is there and the demand is there. My God, the cancer is growing fastest in the developing world, 60% of new cancer cases in the developing world, and those people are never going to be able to afford the expensive treatments that Big Pharma is putting out here in the United States. So it's really kind of a tragedy. So there's a recognition about this, but the sense is that this is just the way the system is, and it's very hard to change.
When you talk about the expense of cancer treatment, what kind of numbers are we talking about?
We're talking about, on average, it's about $100,000 to $120,000 per course of treatment. And that's just for one drug. The sense is that in the future, there will probably be several combinations of these drugs. So you might not just take one of these drugs. You might take two or three, in which case we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars. And people are really curious about how the healthcare system is going to be able to afford this.
Yeah, how are we going to be able to afford that? We now have 9 million more people who are insured compared to a year ago at this time. But still, is insurance going to cover that? If I were to develop cancer now, that six-figure bill could bankrupt me.
Yeah, it's a big question. Nobody quite knows, and I think you sort of hit the nail on the head in the sense that one of the big questions is, well, who has the incentive to investigate these other treatments? It's not drug companies, and we really shouldn't expect them to do that. But it certainly is insurance companies and the U.S. government who is paying for these treatments.
All right, now, you were talking about money here. Let's talk about the other side of this. Big pharma, some big company, let's pick Novartis or one of the Glaxo Welcome or one of the other big pharmaceutical companies. Let's say they say, we are going to develop a cancer drug. How much is that going to cost them?
Wow. It can cost billions of dollars. I think the medium figure is about $1.8 billion. It can take years. I mean, the process has gotten a little bit faster, but it can take a long time, particularly the new kinds of therapies that they're doing are very high tech. They involve, you know, sort of genetics and really understanding the pathways at the cellular level, at the molecular level. So it's very complex stuff and quite expensive.
But I would think that if you put a billion or two in and you cure cancer, if you're the company that cures cancer in the world, your company is going to be making tens of billions, hundreds of billions of dollars going forward, aren't you?
You don't even have to cure cancer. You can just make a dent on one disease. I mean, cancer, as we know, is multiple diseases. It's sort of a rubric for a lot of different kinds of cancers. You can just, Gleevec, which is a drug that helps with one kind of leukemia. I think it's now being used for two kinds of leukemia. Brought the drug company that created it billions and billions of dollars in revenue.
So they put a billion in, they got back billions and billions in return, but again, they want to make something. Well, I shouldn't say they want to, because I'm not 100% sure on this. Is the idea here that we're going to make something that's going to cost a lot because that way we can make a lot of money on the other end? I mean, like you said at the beginning of this, they are a business.
I think what they would say is, you know, as there's these require a huge investment. They require an investment of time. They require an investment of money. And as a company, we should have the ability to recoup our investments. And we're the ones who are sort of, you know, expanding the frontiers of science and creating these wonderful new drugs. And we certainly want them to do that. But we also want the ability to look at other drugs that might be helpful in the fight against cancer, but that don't get looked at because no one is going to make $1 billion off them.
In your ProPublica piece, you use a phrase called financial orphans. What does that mean?
The idea is that these are drugs that have shown great promise against cancer in all kinds of tests, but they are orphan drugs because there isn't a financial incentive to invest in them enough to do human trials.
Has this always been the case, or is this a recent financial development?
I think this has gotten worse over the years as pharma companies have grabbed a bigger role in the research. In the research area. I mean, it used to be that that academic institutions did a little bit more of this, and I think the government might have been a little bit more generous. But I think it has existed to some degree for a while, but it's certainly gotten a lot worse as we've kind of privatized cancer research in this country. And I also think that it's... you know, the cutbacks have certainly been a factor in making this worse.
Yeah, that's the part I was going to ask you about, because I wanted to go back to the money here. The cutbacks are at not only the pharmaceutical level, but also at the NIH, which you mentioned. But I bet if you went to most Americans and said, look, we are going to have to put more money into this because we really do think we have a pretty good chance of beating not all cancer, but certainly a lot of cancers here. But it's going to take an influx of money. I think people would go, yeah, defeating cancer? I'm down for that.
Yeah, I mean, this was one of the startling things to me, because as an outsider, when I first came into this, I just assumed that the treatments that were most meritorious would be studied. But in fact, that's not the way it works. It's the treatment that are most meritorious and most profitable for drug companies that end up getting studied.
Yeah, I think
and
the order might be
one
backwards.
One of these drugs that I talk about in my story at ProPublica.org is metformin, which I had mentioned. It's a diabetes drug, and it's shown just a lot of good progress against breast cancer and some other cancers. And they've actually managed to pull together one of these trials. What happened was there was an influx as part of the stimulus of funding for the NIH. And so they had a little bit extra, and the Canadians put in a bunch of money. And there was actually some money coming from other countries as well. And so they've launched a study. But one of the researchers on this thing told me is that now this would be impossible. It was just that was that one moment where the NIH had a little bit more money and they were able to put it. I mean, in comparative to the fancy drugs that pharma is really working on, to do studies on these things are not that expensive. I mean, they think it'll end up being about $20 to $30 million for this metformin study. And if you did it abroad, you might even be able to do it cheaper.
I think we can all understand why big companies look at their bottom line first, but putting the money first instead of the science, I think would be disappointing for a lot of people to hear, particularly people who know somebody who has cancer, which has got to be the vast majority of Americans. Fascinating piece, Jake.
It's the second biggest killer in the country, and I think you're absolutely right about that. I think it's a big surprise to people.
It's a fascinating piece, Jake. Thanks so much for sharing it with us.
Thank you so much, sir. Have a good day.
Jake Bernstein is a business reporter for ProPublica. You can read the piece at ProPublica.org. I'm Paul Harris. We'll put a link up, of course, on the America Weekend Facebook page.